we are a healthy organization, but we're very reliant on that private public dollar mix. And so we need both those generous donors continuing along with the government grants are still, depending on the year, between 60 and 70% of our income. So as generous as our community has been, both private individuals and corporations, they can't make up that 60 or 70% that we rely on government funding for as well.
The services that you give to survivor mm-hmm. people who come to you, as you mentioned before, the shelter thing is, I think, what people identify most with. I would think, secondly, is just things like the White Ribbon Campaign mm-hmm. that are the public mm-hmm. education things. Mm-hmm. What things are in the mix and that are part of what you do, either new or maybe ongoing, that you don't think people know so much about, but it is a big piece of what you do?
I think often the breadth of response that we can offer to a domestic or sexual violence victim or survivor, that includes, we have a 24-hour hotline. So you don't only use that number if you're looking to get into shelter. That would be the number for shelter. But you also can use that hotline just to say, I'm not sure what to do next, and I just want to talk with somebody about options. Or I'm concerned about my friend or family member, and I want to figure out, am I saying the right thing? So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we maintain that support line staffed by volunteer or paid staff who can answer some of those questions, help you explore options. And so that number is 315-468-3260. And through that number, I always consider that the gateway to our agency. In addition to shelter, you can get advocacy services, you can get counseling services. And so you can have someone who provides emotional support. You can get access to a support group, either an education group or more of a therapy group for sexual assault survivors. We can meet you where you are in the community other than your home if there's a safety issue, and discuss with you your options for orders of protection, a variety of things. We'll meet people at libraries, restaurants, the mall, someplace where they feel safe going. Our advocates can meet you there and help you. We have volunteers stationed down at family court all of the hours the court is open. So if you come in and you want to get an order of protection, there's somebody down there to talk with you about your options, to help you fill out the paperwork and to answer any questions you may have about what's next. Our volunteers and staff respond to the hospitals for a sexual assault victim 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then help you figure out what else you may need. And there are therapeutic counseling services. All of our victim services are free. There's no charge for anything we offer other than our alternatives program that works with offenders, or our STEPS program that works with female offenders. So you can call here and maybe you need to see a counselor for a few times, or maybe you need to see a counselor for an extended period of time. All of those services are available free and all accessible through that 24-hour hotline. So I think many times people forget that we do sexual assault. They forget that we serve men. They think that somehow somebody who may speak a language other than English couldn't be referred here. Somebody who's deaf, who might not have immediate access to services. We provide interpreters. Our goal is to meet any survivor of any kind of relationship violence or sexual assault and be able to offer them the services they need. And I think many times various parts of that are missing. And that's why we hope people do take the time, as you did, read the annual report and recognize how many people you may know or come into contact with who could benefit from something within that range of services.
Is it still I think the elder abuse has identified this pretty well, but is it still the case for the more classic relationship abuse, is it still the case that people just still don't know what to do, don't know what to say, don't know how to intervene?
Absolutely.
Getting better, but...
I think I often talk to people about the Everest analogy, that we're at base camp. So we've come a long way because base camp is pretty high up the mountain, but we're not at the peak because we get calls from people even within the Vera House family, a board member, a foundation trustee, a volunteer, who has someone that they love and care about in an unsafe situation. And then going back to all the things we talk about the challenges and barriers to leaving an abusive situation, the messages still that we can give as a society, the economic barriers, as we were just talking about. And I think it still can be a long haul for people. It is far better than it was, but the issues have not gone away.